Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Muthoot Capital Services Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptardar. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Anushka. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all to Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Muthoot Capital. From the esteemed management, we have with us today Ms. Tina Muthoot, Executive Director, Mr. Matthew Smarcos, CEO, Mr. Ramandeep Gill, CFO. We express our gratitude towards the management of Muthoot Capital to provide us the opportunity to host this conference call. Without further ado, I now hand over the call to Ms. Tina Muthoot, Executive Director, for her opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, all, and thank you for joining us today. Let me begin with a brief introduction to the group. With a proud legacy of over 138 years, the Muthoot Capital Group has been built on a foundation of trust, deep regional expertise, and a strong customer-first philosophy. Guided by our core purpose to transform the lives of the common man by improving their financial well-being, we remain deeply committed to driving financial inclusion across India. Our extensive presence in semi-urban and rural markets has enabled us to serve traditionally underserved segments, including first-time borrowers and customers outside the formal credit ecosystem. Muthoot Capital Services Limited, a key entity in the financial services portfolio, is an RBI-registered deposit-taking NBFC specializing in vehicle finance. MCFL has developed a high-touch, insight-led lending model tailored for informal income groups such as farmers, daily wage earners, self-employed micro-entrepreneurs, and new-to-credit customers. Initially focused on two-wheeler financing covering both ICE and EVs, MCFL has strategically expanded into used cars and used commercial vehicle loans, aligning with evolving customer demands and emerging growth opportunities. These are now structured as SBUs under experienced business heads. The used car market in India is about one and a half times larger than the new car market, and driven by increased affordability, improved vehicle life cycles, quicker replacement timelines, the presence of more organized players, and demand from Tier 2, Tier 3 cities. The used commercial vehicle segment serves small fleet operators, traders, and rural logistics players, segments that need flexible financing models and understand value better than price alone, and whose demand is fueled by the expansion of e-commerce and logistics sectors. It is not only in the products that we have diversified, but we have intensified the performance of our alternate channel businesses, that is, other than dealer networks. We see tremendous synergy with the branch network of Muthoot Fincorp Limited, the flagship company of our group. Our ability to leverage over 3,800 MFL branches for customer acquisition, lead conversions, collections, servicing gives us a unique edge in scaling these new verticals quickly and efficiently for all products, leveraging the customer base of all our group companies, whether it's gold loan, mortgage finance, microfinance, housing loan, and so on, is something we will continue to drive in the coming year. On the regulatory front, the recent RBI co-lending draft guidelines open up new avenues for growth. They allow us to partner with banks to expand credit access, reduce cost of funds, and share risk. This is especially relevant in our used CV and used car financing play, where customer segments are often overlooked by mainstream lenders and yet could become more and more price-conscious over time. We are leveraging technology and data-driven models in all aspects of the lending journey: underwriting, operations, collections, and early warning signal systems. Now, group-wide platform, Muthoot Fincorp One, helps to streamline onboarding, documentation, and servicing, enabling a digital and frictionless self-service journey without losing the personal touch that defines our model. Recently, the group undertook a strategic revamp of its board as part of a broader, well-planned succession strategy. This transition has been executed seamlessly, ensuring continuity while embracing innovation. The third generation, which just stepped down from the board, continues to lead the group's flagship business with vision, experience, and stability. Simultaneously, the fourth generation has stepped into leadership roles with renewed energy, bringing innovation and a forward-thinking approach, and has been instrumental in launching new NBFC initiatives and driving the group's digital transformation journey. This generational collaboration underscores the group's commitment to sustainable growth and long-term value creation across its diverse business verticals. That said, the promoters continue to be the major shareholder in the company and is committed to bringing in funds when the need may arise. MCSL remains a market leader in two-wheeler financing, with 70% of our base in semi-urban and rural areas and 51% being NTC borrowers. With our strategic expansion into used two-wheelers in the coming year and getting a better foothold into electric two-wheelers, used cars, and new CVs, we are entering new growth trajectories. Strong branch synergy, regulatory enablement through co-lending, and tech adoption provides us with scale and edge. Our leadership structure ensures both continuity and transformation. With this introduction, I would just like to hand it over to Ranadeep to take us through the quarter's performance in detail.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Good morning, everybody. I would like to welcome all of you to the earnings call of Q4. In this quarter, in this entire year, we disbursed 2,642 crore as the ever-highest business we did. We have recorded a growth of 84% as in year-on-year in terms of business. While doing this business, the company has been able to bring its AUM to more than 3,000 crore for the first time, which recorded a year-on-year jump of 52%. The GNPA of the company has been brought down by 52% as in year-on-year, and we have recorded a GNPA of 4.88%. With carrying a good PCR, which is highest now, it's 60%, the NNPA of the company stood at 2.30%. With respect to the CRAR of the company, it stood at 22.36%. The company has been able to acquire fresh customers of 73,759 in quarter four itself, whereas taking the live customer base to more than 550,000. The balance sheet size of the company has been recorded as 3,584 crore, whereas borrowing of the company stood at 2,853. Debt to equity of the company stood at 4.34 times, with the borrowing cost at 9.95%. The company has recorded the profit of PBT of 60.40 crore with an EPS of rupees 27.81 rupees. The yield on which the company, the shareholder fund of the company has reached to 658.06 crore, whereas the blended yield of the company across all the segments comes at 20.61%. The rating of the company remains the same. It is A+, whereas we have already spoken about the overall growth of the company with respect to the segments. The two-wheeler stood the standalone growth in the two-wheeler was at 56%, whereas the earlier AUM was 1,802 crore in the last year. In this year, we are closing at 2,806 crore. The company has started the two new SBUs. Four-wheeler AUM at the start of the year was only 26.15 crore. We have been able to close at 86.84 crore with a growth of 232%. Commercial vehicle was the new SBU which has been started in this year itself, wherein we are closing this year with at 61.25 CR. Whereas for corporate loans, our corporate loan book was 181.67 crore. Therein, we took some conscious call of not to doing this corporate loan. So therein, the book is standing at 53.51 CR. whereas for retail segment, the company has been able to grow by 58% as an overall. Whereas corporate segment, the book has grown, the book has degrown by 71%. With respect to the GNPA and NPA of the company, the overall GNPA has again gone down from 10.17% at the start of the year to 4.88% at the end of the year, whereas NNPA by from 3.40% to 2.30%. Last quarter, it was 4.73% the GNPA of the company, whereas NNPA was 2.22%. With respect to the P&L of the company, the net interest income of the company for the entire financial year stood at 248.09 crore, whereas OPEX of the company stood at 173.16 crore. This the company has taken some impairment provisions amounting to rupees 19.38 crore, which made the PBT as 60.40 crore. The PAT of the company stood at 46.31 crore. As is, the return on asset on the blended segments comes at 1.88%, whereas return on equity is coming at 7.30% blended one. As I said, CRAR of the company is healthy as of now. It's 22.36%. Talking about the business, so talking about the portfolio analysis in detail, 95.12% of the company stood as a standard accounts, whereas 4.88% of the customer of the company's portfolio stood as substandard. With the standalone NPAs or standalone substandard performance of the portfolio, two-wheeler NPAs stood at 5.27%, whereas remaining portfolio remains standard. Four-wheeler substandard portfolio comes at 0.69%, whereas we did have nil NPA in the three-wheelers. For the commercial vehicle, in terms of retail, we had a substandard portfolio of only 0.31%. Talking about the stage-wise analysis, the zero bucket cases stood at 83.84%, whereas stage 1 of the company stood at 3.15%. Stage 2 of the company stood at 4%, whereas stage 3 has gone up to 4.88%, which is my substandard account, as we have said. With respect to the vertical-wise, dealer channel, 92.47% of the portfolio which we have sourced had remained standard, whereas 7.53% remains substandard. With respect to the branch channel, wherein we had a group company sourcing as well, 6.32% remains substandard, whereas remaining remains standard. With respect to the company has not added any co-lending partner during the year. We have continued to do the same business with our existing co-lending partners, which we have added in the last year. With the Wheels EMI and Rightwise Capital, they are holding the major share of 66%. With EV PIN, the company has been able to bring up its portfolio to 182.92 CR, which helps companies taking the asset which is more towards the impact, so that impact funding can be taken. And this with EV PIN, the focus is 100% of the asset is focused towards the EV vehicles. With Manba Finance, the company's portfolio stood at 122.86 crore, and remaining with the Upmoney Finance, which is 12.63 crores. With respect to the ECL of the company, we have to talk the stage one assets, stage two and stage three. The total PCR provided by the company stood at 60%, whereas provisioning in terms of absolute value, it comes at 107.03 crore on the closing asset of 3057.76 crores. Net asset of the company after excluding the impairment provision comes at 2950.73 crores. Taking it further, the IREC provision required for the business was 59.12 crore, whereas company is providing in company is following the ECL and is providing 107.03 crore, wherein the IRAC requirement was 1.93%. Our ECL remain as highest and we are providing 3.50%. Whereas the excess provisioning over IRAC comes at 48 crores. Talking about the investments within the security receipt, the company had done one more ARC in this financial year for the previous pool. Whereas for the first ARC which the company has done, the company has been able to bring down its security receipt by 64%. For the second pool, which the company has done 6 months back in this September, the company has been able to bring down its investment in those security receipts by 22%. Talking about the shareholding pattern of the company, it remained unchanged from the last financial year. The promoter remains strong at 62.62%. Remaining has been carried by the retail. We have been able to take the additional funding of in the quarter four itself. The company has been able to take the additional funding of 671.36 crore. Of that, long-term funding constitute of 496.36 crore and remaining 175 crore comes at short-term funding. All the working capital demand loan which were due for rollover has been successfully rolled over during the last year, whereas the funding concentration which remains as for term loan and working capital demand loan, the company is at 43%. For NCDs and MLDs combined together, it comes to 28%, whereas for CPs and securities comes to 21% and other remains 1%. The companies have been able to add more banking partners in the last financial year. We in terms of our highest exposure in terms of banks with respect to PSUs, the company is having highest exposure with PNB and the Union Bank. With PNB, companies having an exposure of 200 crore, whereas with Union Bank, the company is having exposure of 80 crores. We have been able to add more private bank in the last financial year as well. With IDFC First Bank, which is coming, the total exposure has reached to close to 200 crores, whereas all these small finance banks have been added with respect to AU Uttar Small Finance Bank. The company has been able to attract private banks in terms of Axis Bank, which came with a guarantee structure with a United Nations Impact Fund called Guarantco. Therefore, 100 crores have been invested with respect to EV space. With securitization, the company has been able to close the deals with DCBs, Federal, ICICI, HDFC, mutual funds. For NBFCs and all marquee partners which the companies are having, who invested us in various forms, in NCDs, in commercial papers. So we had very good names, which we have already shared, the in likes of Morgan Stanley, Sundaram Finance, Northern Arc, Vivriti Capital, Tata Fund. So the UB, Aquarius, IEX, AK Capital, Tipson, Shriram Finance and Guarantco. So all have come either in the form of taking a stake in the commercial paper or in the NCD of the company. So with this, these are the overall highlights. With this, I would like to hand over the call to our CEO for the business performance of the company. That's it, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Ramandeep. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure connecting with all of you once again. As a CEO, I'm very happy to say that, all the quarterly guidance that was given during the calls with Raman and I, which we had given, have been met. And we have met our overall annual deliverables in terms of whether it is disbursement, AUM growth, or bringing down the NPA levels. All of them have been met. So I think we had a very good year. Also towards the back end of the year, we had a very young, vibrant and dynamic team of fourth generation directors taking over the reins of the business. That brings in a lot of new perspective and there's been a total alignment between our vision, mission, and more importantly, the execution strategy. And as a part of that, the directors and the top management sat together, and we realigned our strategy objectives, looking at the last year growth, and we put across 10 strategy objectives to be achieved by 2028. I just want to broadly take you through that. So first strategic objective is to achieve AUM of 10,000 crores with an ROA of greater than 4% and a credit rating of AA+. Second objective is to be digital first, customer centric and data driven. Of course, we all know that technology is going to be the force multiplier now, and we have complete alignment on that, and therefore we are investing a lot on technology and data sciences. The third strategy objective is to be a financier of choice with a market share of 3% pan-India and over 7.5% in the operational locations. So we are today at around 2% pan-India and you know, close to 7% in operational locations, which we want to you know, take it to by another 200 bips during this year. Fourth is become a multi-product company with 40% through alternate products. As you all know, we were a largely two-wheeler company, which we have been able to reduce the share of two-wheelers. Last year, 95% of the overall book was two-wheelers, 23-24. 24-25, we reduced it to 85%. And by the end of this year, we want to bring 40% of the overall book through alternate products like used car, CV, loyalty loans, etc. Next strategic objective is to achieve 30% of the business through our group companies. So our group companies, as Tina mentioned in her opening remarks, has a huge network. Across the group, we have 5,000 plus branches and a team strength of about 45,000 employees and a customer base of over 60 lakhs. And there is a huge potential there to leverage that base, which we are actively working on. Currently, we get about 11-12% of the overall business contribution from group companies, which we plan to increase to 30%. That will ensure our cost of acquisition goes down and, you know, thus impact the ROA directly. Next strategic objective is to build digital channel and achieve 5% of disbursement from this. We have already, Tina mentioned about the Muthoot FinCorp One app. On that app, we are building multiple products. The loyalty loan, which is a top-up on our two-wheeler loan, has already gone live on the app. You know that we are a deposit-taking NBFC. The online FD journey is going live shortly on that app. The entire end-to-end two-wheeler self-service journey is going live on that app by end of June, end of Q1. So all these functionalities we are building on that app, and other than that, we are also tied up with other partners like Bajaj Finserv, Bike Dekho, and we also have gone live on the Hero MotorCorp dealer app, where we are present in all the dealers on the digital mode. Next strategic objective is to strengthen asset quality by bringing down GNPA below 4.5%. Our guidance for last year was 6%, and we bettered it by bringing it down to 4.9%. Now we want to keep this constantly below the 4.5% mark. Leverage 10% existing customer base for cross-sell. The work is already on. We already have a huge loyalty base created on our book, and we are using the existing book for through propensity modeling and analytics to, you know, cross sell and upsell other products of our company as well as the group companies. Next strategic objective is very pertinent to the times that we live in, which is robust corporate governance. There is a huge amount of, you know, oversight by the regulators. We got corporate agency of insurance also. So last year we have one more regulator, which is RBI, ARB, as well as SEBI. So we put in additional focus. While we are always very, very compliant as an entity, we are bringing in additional focus by putting in this as a strategic objective, which is robust corporate governance and aligning with SDG goals. As Raman also mentioned during his speech that, you know, we've got a funding from Garantco for impact funding for EV. So we are also aligning with the SDG goals. We are already aligned with 13 of the 17 SDG goals. And we're planning to go for a certification as well this year. And the last and final one is to be an employer of choice. Last year, we got the Great Place to Work certification. That was a feather in our cap. And, you know, this year, on top of that, we want to bring our attrition levels, which is already, I think, lesser than the industry, but we want to further bring it below 20% mark. And we've been able to attract talent from across the industry last year, and then we want to continue to be an employer of choice. So these are the strategic objectives that we are, working on. And we have complete alignment on our team. We also did workshops with the entire top management along with the directors to bring this complete alignment before rolling it out. And we are very hopeful. We're looking at, this year with a great deal of confidence. Of course, I think the tailwinds in terms of, rural income growing and prediction of good monsoon, etc., will be good for our business, and we hope to have a great year ahead. And of course, we look forward to your continued patronage and support. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shrikant Haria from Green Edge. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, sir.
Yeah. This is Digant. I think my name was mispronounced there. So my first question is, we had this investor meet, and you know, after that we reported the December quarter and now the March quarter. So somehow, you know, the asset quality has a lot of pain, because if in the last quarter had we not revised our accounting policy of PCR, we would have reported a good amount of loss. And in this quarter, there's again, you know, 16 crores of provision, and yet the NNPA has also gone up, you know, versus the December quarter. What's happening in our asset quality? Are there some specific pain points, or is it just one, two geographies which have gone wrong? What's happening there? Yeah, so that's my first question.
Yeah. Okay, so I will take that. Thank you, Srikant. There's been no strain on our asset quality. The new portfolio that we have created is behaving very well. Delinquencies are very much under control, and we have adequate amount of oversight on that. Having said that, this accounting part, while I would want Raman to clarify more on that, one thing that has happened is that when September we did an ARC transaction, okay, when we sold off about 100 crores of our portfolio, our collection that was coming from that, and we had a very healthy collection coming out of that. So every month we were tracking the fresh flow of cases into NPA. Of course, there is no 100% collection does not happen. So some amount of fresh flow happens, and then there is some amount of collection that comes in through from the NPA pool, and net of flow minus collection is your overall impairment, and on that you do the provisioning. So when the 100 crore got sold off, the collection coming from there suddenly started moving to the ARC, because of which the net impact became higher, and because of which we had to do a higher provisioning. Other than that, there's nothing wrong with the asset quality. Raman, you want to take it further on that?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Hi, Digant. So I just want to add here The last time we did ARC, so I'll tell you the objective of creating the higher PCR. When the company had faced huge asset quality issues 3 years back, we decided to have a management overlay, right, in order to bring down the entire GNPA and the NNPA below 6%. So we have also provided this note in our annual reports as well. When we did the first ARC in September 2023, we brought down our PCR from 88 to 75%, since the pool that has been sold was on a larger side. Similarly, when we did the second ARC in September 2024, there was no point in carrying the higher overlays for the pool which has already been sold out, and providing the highest PCR on the new pool which is behaving extremely well. Third thing wherein which I want to add here is the pool that has been sold, as Matthew sir had said, the recoveries from that pool is now going down for the reduction in the investment in the security receipt, which I have also said. The security receipt for both the pools have been brought down by 64% and 22% respectively. Right, the new pool is extremely behaving well. As I said in my PPT as well, on the two-wheeler side, as an individual segment, the GNP of the pool is only 5.87%. The remaining portfolio remains standard. Whereas on the other pool, with respect to used car, CVs, which are our new portfolio, the GNP is only 0.56% and 0.31%. So with respect to the asset quality as an individual segment, it's behaving extremely well. Then we have also checked the PCR of our peers, who are working in the same segment. Therein we found that highest PCR that has been adopted was in the range of 50 to 55%. In order to align with that, we did our PCR for policy change. So that was the sole reason. I hope we have been able to answer.
Okay, but then tell me, in this quarter also we saw 16 provisions, and see, if your FY25, I think you have used approximately 40 crores of provision write back. So if that had not happened, we would have had a PBT of just 10-15 crores for the full year. So I just want to credit cost out of the operating business, not the ARC transaction, because the ARC transaction actually is just hiding a lot of these numbers, because the loss we took maybe was FY23, and that 40 crores of benefit of the loss we took 2 years back, we are seeing in this year's P&L. At least that is what we could figure out. So I just wanted to know that quarter also 16 crores of provisions and 3 crores of other income. If you can just highlight what was that.
So 16 crore of impairment, as I said, is basically the seasoning of the portfolio, which we did, right? So wherein we know that, GNPA is going to... So as of now, if I have to I have to tell you the exact number. On a book of 3,000 crore, 95% is from the two-wheeler. The GNPA is 134 crore, right? And this is not including any ARC impact. It is basically the new book versus the new GNP of the company. It does that on the stage 3 when it comes, we are providing as high as 60%. So when it comes to 5 crore a month, in terms of my GNP, which is, flowing forward, on 5 crore, I have to provide 3 crore as an additional impairment hit, right, considering my policy of 60%. So therein, we are conservative enough, to provide it. So there are two factors for it. One, it's taking the P&L hit, which I already said it will be increased because we have a highest PCR of 60%. Second, how the asset quality is actually behaving in the books. So when it comes to actually how the asset quality is behaving in the books, as I said, on the two-wheeler segment, the total GNP is only 5.27%. The remaining book is standard. And this I am saying, we are also tracking our results with the other two-wheeler segments as well. More or less in line or below par with the other two-wheeler companies. I think you must be knowing all these things, right? Second thing which I want to add here is asset quality as an individual. So when we know that, the fresh business which we have sold 18 months back to 12 months back and books started to grow. So there will be a point when the seasoning will come. So the seasoning has started to come, And even after the seasoning, we are reporting a GNP on the two-wheeler at 5% itself. So which means that, yes, the seasoning part of taking the hit on that portfolio is already over. The quarters to come will be, you know, will be blended with the new portfolio and some seasoning from the old portfolio. So it was the, so I'll say that 16 crore of hit in one quarter, which I'll say specifically in JFM, is something, you know, which we are not going to see in Q1 or Q2 at least. The next seasoning is going to come in Q3 only, considering our portfolio, how it is behaving.
Okay. And that 3 crore of other income, of what is it, if you can, because, you know, it's not there for the previous quarter. Yeah,
it's not there for the previous quarter. Out of that, as Matthew sir has said, there is a small chunk from the insurance income, as we have taken corporate agency. 21 lakhs came from there. The remaining has come from the you know, recoveries from the overdues from the customers. No other income other than.
Okay, so I just had this, you know, because it optically looked like, you know, we reduced the PCR only to protect our PNL, you know, but you know, thanks for this clarification. And
I want to add one more data point on that. So October 23 onwards, we've been tracking the Fed slippages. So October 23 on a AUM of 1,000 crores, which is our own MCSL, I'm keeping aside the co-lending part, used to be 10 crores, which was a fresh flow month on month, which was about 0.96%. And that's been month on month coming down. And today with a 1,800 crore portfolio, the slippage is still at 11 crore, which is 0.63%. So month on month, the fresh slippages are coming down.
Okay. All right. Thanks for this all clarification.
Thank you, Srikant. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tejas Khandelwal from Prudent Equity. Please proceed.
Oh, hello. I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Tejas.
Yeah, so I wanted to know that you just said that the 16 crores of provisioning, we are not expecting that in Q1 and Q2, but we can see that again in Q3 and Q4. So I just wanted to know what is the normalized provisioning can we expect in FY26?
Okay. So, yes. So I'll take this question, sir.
Yeah.
We have already framed our business plan numbers for this financial year as well. Right, wherein, you know, which basically says that, you know, what sort of AUM which the company will be there and what sort of ROAs and ROE which we want to operate. Considering the worst situations we have seen, and we have enough information now from last, you know, 3 to 5 years, that, you know, if the portfolio will become bad, how much it will turn as a bad and how much seasoning impact will come. For the overall year, we have seen that, you know, the ECL that we have thought, or we can say that impairment provisioning which we have to, you know, provide in the books for this financial year, it will be somewhere in the line of 1.65 to 1.80%. This is what we are expecting as compared to the previous years, wherein we provided somewhere around 2% or more than 2%, if I have to take 2 years back. So therein I will say that, you know, provisioning would be there, yes. Because, you know, we are carrying, we wanted to have higher provisioning in the books. There is no doubt about it. But at the same time, the overall provisioning impact on the books will not impact my ROA, right? I just want to add one more thing here. I said that, you know, ROA of the company is at 1.88%. And I also said it's a blended one. If I only have to take a two-wheeler ROA of the company, it comes at 2.5%. Right, so we know that even after having highest hit of my impairment, I am able to deliver a 2.5% of the ROA on my two-wheeler portfolio itself. I hope I have been able to answer.
Okay, and you are expecting 2% ROA on blended level, right, in FY26?
No. We are expecting on blended level at an ROA of 2.5 to 2.75%.
Okay, got it. And sir, my second question was on delinquencies, because the delinquencies can be seen in your asset book. In that stage 2 asset was 33.4% in Q3, and now it is 4.2% in Q4. When the last quarter con call happened in February, you were confident about controlled delinquencies. So what happened in the remaining 45 days that such large provisions came up and this stage 2 bucket has fallen up?
Okay, shall I take this?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'll take this. So this 3.4% on the stage two asset is basically we have computed. So we are talking only about the stage two here.
Yes.
So if we are talking about only about the stage two here, this stage two number for us is coming as 3.7%.
It is 4.2%, sir. As I am calculating, it is 4.2% versus 3.4% last quarter.
Okay. So you are computing basis on the stage 2 number versus the stage 2? Or stage
yes.
2 on the overall?
Yes.
Stage 2 on the overall. If you are computing on stage 2 on the overall, then last quarter denominator was higher because we did 865 crore as a business. Whereas in this quarter, we did only 650 TR of business. Since Q3 was a season for the company, right? So our denominators were on the higher side. That is again a reason wherein the if you take this number in terms of percentages, it will always be 0.5% lower or 0.3% lower. But if I have to provide you a figure based on the stage 2 versus stage 2, my stage 2 numbers, what was the due and what has been received? So therein, my number is coming as 3.67%.
Okay. And sir, on the insurance product side, you have realized 41 lakhs from insurance this quarter, right?
21 lakhs.
So how much you are expecting for the entire year, FY26?
So yeah, in the next financial year, see, first of all, we don't force any customer to take insurance. It's more or less a cross-sell kind of thing for us, right? Based on the historical information that how much we have been able to sell, considering an increase of 5-10%, we are expecting some income around 15 to 16 crore in this year.
Okay, sir. Got it. And sir, another question was on the ground situation. So is there actually demand in two-wheeler segment? Because the recent sales numbers from two-wheeler companies looks pretty flat. So I'm curious, how are you expecting such strong growth in loan book?
Okay, I will take that, Raman. First of all, April was, YOY was better. April was about, I think, 5 to 6% higher than last April. May, because of all the external geopolitical issues, I think it's flat as of now. But we don't expect the numbers to dip. We expect numbers to be flat over last year. But then the predictions are that this year the industry should grow by about 7 to 8%. That is one. Two, as I was pointing out in my opening talk where we talked about the strategic objectives, we have taken a strategic objective to have a share of overall pan-India 3% from the current level of 1.8%. So that jump in share will give me that extra number, even if the industry is flat. So I'm not worried about that achieving that number because from the trend of the last 1 year, we are growing our market share each month. So this number of 1.8% used to be 0.7 in January 23. And by January 24 and by January 25, it came to 1.8%. And by end of next year, we will definitely be at 3%. So even if the industry is flat, because of our growth in or our increased penetration into the business, we will be able to grow. So that part, we were very, very confident about.
Okay. So what AUM growth can we expect? Because you were not able to meet the AUM guidance of 3,200 crores for FY25. So I wanted to know about FY26 guidance.
Yeah, so internally we had budgeted an AUM of 2,800 crores and we crossed 3,000, we reached 3,058 and 3,200 was a guidance given based on the fact that we had a very good quarter 3,800, close to 900 crores. And expectation was that Q4 would be similar, but Q4 numbers were considerably subdued. But we still continue to grow in terms of market share. So I think we are almost there. The guidance for the year should be somewhere around 4,500 crores.
Okay, sir, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before I take the next question, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Suresh Pal from KRST Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
My question is, we have seen quarter on quarter a huge jump on credit costs or provisioning. So are we seeing any asset stress or why or can we expect such an increase in credit costs going ahead? Because it has completely cancelled whatever AUM growth that we are doing. That's my question, sir.
Raman, you want to take that?
Yes, sir, I'll take it. So as I said in the call earlier as well, right, the first of all, the asset quality on the quarter on quarter, which we have seen, you know, every quarter, I'll just provide you the basic number of the movement. Okay. Every quarter, we had a fresh NPA flown in the books that is ranging from 21 crore to 25 crores. More or less, it remained the same. The slippages of, as I said, in the Q4, the seasoning has happened. So 3-4 crore additional flow has happened. Other than that, if I have to compare for the last 1 year, the slippages, slippages remains the same, right? Whereas in terms of reduction, till September, whatever I have taken and, you know, we have been able to take, that has been added to my reduction in the Muthoot Capital portfolio. While then since we have sold that pool to ARC, the reduction has been, you know, gone out from here and has been shown as an inflow so that we can bring down our security receipt as investment in the ARC. That is the reason net flow in my closing balance of my NPAs, you know, remain higher in the Q4. That is the reason our cost of credit, which is impairment cost, has been jumped up. But we know that, you know, as an overall, in terms of, you know, segment-wise, where we are in terms of asset quality and where we want to go, with that, you know, we are controlling it and we have a complete oversight on that as well. We expect a credit cost of 1.6 to 1.8% in this year, which would be lower only as compared to the last year.
And Suresh, to add to that, now our used car and CV portfolio is increasing now, which is obviously, in terms of delinquency, that book would be much lower than that of a two-wheeler because that's how the industry behaves. And as that becomes a larger share of our AUM, a corresponding reduction you will see in the overall NPAs. Were we able to answer your question?
Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is again on slippage ratio. Our slippage ratio looks to be very high at 4% on an annualized level if I have to see both December as well as the March quarter. So one, if you could indicate how do we see this going ahead? Are we able to contain this, which is currently at 30 crore a quarter? Do we see this going down in coming quarters or do we see a sustained number?
So, okay, sir, I'll just take it, you know, then you can add, sir. The business plan which we have prepared, we have taken the same slippages are going to happen in the next year as well on a very conservative side. Based on the increase in the AUM, right, and based on the, if the same slippages are going to continue, then what would be my ROA and ROE would look like. So we have seen what at the same time, as Matthew Sarat said for the previous question, we have added used car and commercial vehicle as well
On those, we can see that blended NPA is only 0.59 and 0.31% respectively. When we add these two portfolio as well, the total slippages on a whole portfolio will automatically go down as compared, because now we have only comparison is basically two-wheeler, wherein the slippage for the two-wheeler and as an industry, we are operating at 5% GNP. It will be continued to remain the same. But with the addition of the new portfolio and which are fairly secured, used car and CV, with those additions, the gross NPA as a whole and the gross slippages as a whole will go down in this year. I hope I am able to answer your question. You know, if there is anything you want to add specifically, please ask. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so to add to what Raman has said, and I already answered in the previous question asked by somebody else, that over the last 1 year, so from October 23 till March 25, the month-on-month slippage has been hovering around 9 to 10 crores, while the AUM has grown from 1,000 crore to 1,800 crores. So the quantum of slippage has been, we've been able to keep the quantum of slippage at that level, though there has been an increase in AUM. Therefore, on a percentage term, the slippage month-on-month has come down from 0.96% in October 23 to 0.6% in March. So as a percentage, we will always be able to keep it below, and the quantum also will keep at the same levels with an increase in AUM.
Got it. So when we say that our credit cost will be somewhere between 1.6 to 1.8%, which means that we are saying on a full year basis, FY26, our provisions would be 60-70 crores, which was similar to the run rate of Q4.
Similar to the run rate of Q4?
Q4 run rate.
No. So Q4, we only added 16 crores as an additional provisioning. Achha, you're talking about quarter on quarter.
But the Q4 is total.
Achha, quarter on quarter. Yes.
So those basically whole year 2026, we are saying FY26 around 60 to 70 crores of provision. So that would mean that somewhere the Q4 numbers would sort of continue on a run rate basis.
Yeah, but one more thing. Yes, you're right. And one more thing to add on, the total income, which I have said, for the last year, whereas total income for the upcoming year. So that upcoming year, that income as we target a growth in the AUM. So obviously the income as a whole will also grow by at least 2 to 2.5 times.
So what we have also introduced is that we've introduced a risk-based pricing starting January. January, we only had a scheme-based pricing, which is any customer taking a loan anywhere in the country, opting for a scheme, suppose scheme A, would get the same pricing. But today, we are able to differentiate between two customers with two different risk profiles. So we have, now with the introduction of risk-based pricing, we will be able to price a higher customer appropriately, and therefore, we will be able to take care of that additional provisioning, whatever, which comes in without taking an impact on the ROA. So this year's budgeting has been done. All these factors have been taken into account, which is the provisioning that will come in. Slippages we will keep under control. Plus, we will have that additional delta from the risk-based pricing along with other income like cross-sell and cross-sell of insurance and other products.
Okay, so when we say that our AUM would be 4,500, 4,600 for next year, this is FY26, so roughly around 50% growth in AUM that we are forecasting. So do we see our net interest income to grow at 50% as well?
Yeah, it will also grow by about 50%, yes.
Okay, got it. And last question, from our targeted AUM of 4,500 crores. What would be the contribution from each segment if you could go through as well, please?
So, as I mentioned before, our objective is to make it as a 60-40 ratio. So, 60% would come from two-wheelers and the balance 40% from other products.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Tosa from M3 Investment. Please proceed.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding OPEX. We have a considerable scale and we also have 30% of co-lending, which we don't have to bear an expense. Despite that, our OPEX is on the higher side. And I understand you are investing in new products and systems and there would be some upfronting. But on a steady state, when you grow higher than this, how do you plan to control it so that we can have a healthy pre-operating profit which can help us navigate through volatility in credit costs to two-wheeler, which is a little bit on the lower side of pyramid?
Okay, so Raman, I'll take it and then you can talk about the numbers. So last year we were, fixing multiple things. So we were fixing the business growth on one side. We were putting up new products. We were adding new technologies. So, you know, OPEX was one thing which we did not put too much of our mind into, because if we start brooding over OPEX too much, we will not be able to do all those things that we were able to do otherwise. Okay, so our priority was, of course, set the business engine rolling. Set the new products rolling, send the technology front, at par with industry, bring all those credit checks and controls. So all of them come at a cost, and therefore we did all that. And I think these were investments which were made in the right direction, and the benefits of which will accrue in this year and going forward. We are cognizant of the fact that, OPEX is slightly higher, and therefore we have taken a hit on the ROAs. But with all the investments that we made last year and them giving results this year, we should be able to tide over that. That is number one. Number two, we are also adding new products like used two-wheeler this year, where I will not have to incur any additional OPEX because it's the same team, the same technology, the same platform which is going to do that business for me. But that comes at a 300 to 400 bips higher rate than the normal two-wheeler. And that would be about 25% of my incremental business this year. Okay. So that will also add to my, ROA and NIM without impacting the OPEX. So these are the things that we have planned. So we are cognizant of that, and the OPEX, higher OPEX of last year was, I think, an investment in the right direction.
Yeah.
Raman, you want to add more on numbers? You can do.
No, sir. This is okay.
Yeah.
So understood. But would you like to guide on a steady state now that investments are done? How much do you think we can incur going forward on a steady state?
Okay. So, sir, can I?
Yeah.
Okay. So, on this, as we said, already for a segment-wise, two-wheelers are contributing very well. We are around 2.5% or higher in terms of ROA itself. For used cars and commercial vehicles, since we have started in last year itself, so in this year, we are expecting a good turnaround from them. On a steady state, I am expecting a blended ROA of somewhere around 2.5% without expecting, without expecting too much increase in the yields now. But yes, if we are able to, since all the expenses have already been incurred in the last year, so amortization will come into the picture from this year itself. So we are expecting good numbers, and we want to deliver we also hope to deliver an ROA, a blended ROA of more than 3% in this year itself.
So, if I do a back of the envelope calculation, we can expect a 100 to 200 basis point reduction in our OPEX to AUM? We have that 2%, 2.5% ROA. Would that be correct?
Yes, it has to be. And second thing, the impact will not only come into the, from the OPEX itself. Yes, there will be an impact from the finance cost as well. since the cost reduction has already been started, and we are also expecting 0.25 to 0.50 paisa to come down.
Understood. Thanks.
There would be an impact on finance cost. There would be an impact on the yield, which will go up. There will be an impact on the used two-wheeler adding to the NIM, and there will be an impact of co-lending book being lower as a percentage, because co-lending book is at a very low yield for us.
Correct.
So all of them will impact. So I can't tell you now that which variable will have the highest impact, but I think all of them will have an impact.
Okay, understood. Second is, sir, what is our strategy on corporate book? We, last four quarters, we have disbursed, I think, 20-odd crores. We had a slippage of 10 crore in this quarter. We are largely looking at products which are largely in retail, automobile, or around structure. So what is our, you know, strategy, or how does this corporate fit in, and what do you think going forward, do you want to do, you don't want to do, just on the, you know, strategy aspect?
Okay. First of all, there is no slippage. Our corporate loan book is completely clean. I don't know where you got that figure. So there is no slippage at all.
I think on your presentation,
corporate loan book, there is zero delinquency.
Corporate loan is a zero one.
Zero
PPT still. Yeah.
I think slide number 26, corporate loan movement, there has been an addition of around 10 crores.
Addition means the new loans which we have provided. New loans which we have provided.
Okay.
It's a corporate loan movement. It's not an NPA movement.
It's not NPA. So there is no NPA on our corporate loan book.
No, but regarding the disbursement which has been...
Regarding the disbursement, the idea is that if you have to underwrite corporate loan, you have to start underwriting it like a bank does. Okay. So our core competence has always been on the retail space, and we want to stick to that. Having said that, there has been a set of customers who've been loyal with us, who've been with us for years together, and who keep coming back to us for small things. So we will continue to cater to that segment, and we will keep that book at that level of, say, 150 to 200 crores. We don't want to go aggressive on that, because that is not our core competency. If we have to go aggressive on corporate loan book, we have to start underwriting and thinking like a bank, which we are not ready for as of now. And two, with our interest rate and our cost of funds, to get good credit in that segment will also be a challenge. So we will continue to, you know, work with our partners who've been with us, or our, either our co-lending partners or our loyal customers who've been with us for long. We're not looking at a big jump in that book.
Okay. And sir, regarding other products, seen in three-wheelers, last two quarters we haven't disbursed any amount. So any color on that?
So three-wheeler as a product, we never had on our own books. Whatever three-wheeler is shown on our books was, brought in by our co-lending partners. Since they have slowed down, you will see a slight reduction in that portfolio. But we don't intend to get into that segment as of now. So currently we are going within the two-wheeler segment. We want to further, split that into two-wheeler ICE, two-wheeler EV, and two-wheeler used. And those will be the three segments under two-wheeler. Under car, we will have new car and used car, and under CV, we will have new CV and used CV, and then you will have a loyalty loan, which is a top-up or a personal loan. Right. So these are the products that we will be focusing on this year. Towards the fag end of the year, as the CV portfolio grows, we will look at getting into construction equipment, tractor, etc., but that is not completely firmed up.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the team.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, thank you so much everyone for joining the call and for all your insightful questions and guiding us quarter on quarter. I think this year is going to be a great year for MCSL. We all are confident on delivering all the guidance and all the numbers that we have committed to you. And with your support, we will continue to grow. Thank you so much. And hoping to connect with you soon in the next quarter. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On behalf of Elara Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.